And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And the disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude crowding thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked around to see her that had done this thing.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us for the first half of If I Can Touch the Hem of His Garment. So let's rejoin Dr. Glaze for the first half of If I Can Touch the Hem of His Garment.
In Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 25, it says, "And there was a certain woman who had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of physicians, and had spent all she had, and was no better, but grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the crowd behind and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be well.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned about in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And the disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude crowding thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' And he looked around to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing not what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him of all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee well. Go in peace and be well of thy plague.'" This morning I want to speak to you on the subject, if I could touch the hem of his garment. If I could touch the hem of his garment. There's some of you here this morning that you need to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. But I want to explain it to you in a way that maybe you never considered what this means before. This is a powerful teaching that we're going to share with you today, and one that if you will apply to your life and apply to your heart, it will revolutionize your spiritual life. I guarantee you that it will do things in your life above and beyond what you could ever think or imagine. In our passage today, we see that there was a crowd of people that were pressing in on Jesus. If you look at chapter 5 and verse 24, it says, "And Jesus went with him, and many people followed him and crowded him." They pressed on him. And so there was a lot of people touching him that day. There was a mob of people that were moving in on him. But there was one in particular that when she touched him, he knew that she had touched him. Let me share with you very quickly four things about this lady. First of all, we see her helplessness. Her helplessness is the fact that she had been bleeding for 12 years. Now, this was some type of female issue that she had going on. And as a matter of fact, it was so severe that in latter verses, it said that when she got healed, that the fountain was dried up. So this lady had a very serious issue. And she was in a helpless condition. And she was bleeding like this for 12 years, non-stop for 12 years. Now, in the law, it talked about a woman when she was ceremonially unclean during that monthly time. And that during that time, she would have to separate herself from worship. She would have to separate herself from public contact. And she would have to go alone for after 7 days so that she would be cleansed, and then she could go back out among people again. But can you imagine this lady? It was just not a normal occurrence for her. But it says that she bled for 12 years. So 12 years she could not go to the house of the Lord. 12 years she could not be around people in public. 12 years She was separated from relationship with her husband. 12 years. She was distanced from her family. 12 years. She had this issue of blood. This lady was in a helpless situation. And not only was her situation helpless, but her situation, according to Mark, was hopeless. It said in verse 26, and had suffered many things of physicians, and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. As you look at this lady's life here, and you think you have problems, and you think you have problems, you think you have physical issues. Here this lady not only had a problem of bleeding for 12 years, but she spent all of her resources trying to get healed. And the Bible says that she didn't get any better, but she actually got worse. And it's interesting because Luke is a doctor. And so Luke records this same parable. And when Luke records it, Luke basically says that there was no remedy for her problem. But Mark, he busts out doctors, right? Mark puts doctors on the front street because Mark wasn't a doctor. So he wasn't sensitive. Luke was a little bit sensitive. And so what did Mark say? Mark said, basically, that the doctors had taken all of her money and still was not able to help her. So not only was this lady's situation helpless, her situation was hopeless. But oh, thank God, she knew where her help came from. The choir sang this morning, my help comes from the Lord. She knew where she could be helped. Look at verses 27 and 28. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the crowd behind and touched his garment. Now, this lady actually shouldn't even been in this crowd that day. But she was so convinced that she needed to get to Jesus that she came out in spite of her condition. And as a matter of fact, if you look, it says in verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the crowd behind and touched him. And look at verse 28. For she said. You won't pick this up in English, but in the Greek, you'll pick this up. It's a continuous participle. And what it means? And she kept saying to herself over and over and over again, if I could touch his garment, if I could touch his garment. Here she was isolated from the synagogue, isolated from the temple, if I could touch his garment. Here she was isolated from family, if I could touch his garment. Here she was ostracized from society, if I could touch his garment. And she said to herself over and over and over again, if I could touch his garment. Do you know where your help is coming from this morning? Do you know how you can get help for your situation? If this lady didn't know anything else, she knew about a man named Jesus who could help her. And she said to herself over and over and over again, despite her embarrassment, despite the flow of blood that was coming out of her, she pressed her way and said, if I could touch his garment. And that was the only thing in his heart. See, a lot of problems with people today is that we turn every other place but to Jesus. And we need to get something in our spirit and something in our heart that says over and over and over again, if I could just touch him, if I could just touch the hem of her garment, of his garment. Her helplessness, her hopelessness, her help. But then look at her healing. I like this right here. Look at her healing. Verse 29. And straightway, and notice what it says here, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She didn't do an examination. As a matter of fact, the Greek word here is gnosko, and it means to know by experience. that you know because you experience it. So all this thing that had been taking place for 12 years, the minute that she touched his garment, the Bible says that the flow stopped and she knew it. She didn't need anybody to come examine her. She didn't need to look down and see what happened. That she knew in her spirit that God had touched her and taken care of her problem. And then Jesus, Jesus said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "Man, what are you talking about? People are all around you. People are bumping up against you. People are getting in your space. And you're asking, who touched you?" Jesus said, "I felt something leaving." Now, it'd be like all of y'all coming up here pushing in on me. And I'd be feeling all the pressure. And then somewhere in the midst of it, there's a special thing that happens, and I say, "Somebody touched me." You say, "Pastor Glaze, who? There's all kind of people." What do you mean somebody touched you?
Yes.
Something left me.
Yes.
And Jesus touched this lady. But the point that I want to make today is that in order for us to understand the power of this story, we got to go back to the Old Testament. And when we go back to the Old Testament, this is a powerful teaching. We understand the power of what took place on that day. If you go back to the book of Deuteronomy with me, Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22. And I need you to stay with me now because we're going to get a little deep. But then we're going to bring it back and take you through every mountain again. Deuteronomy chapter 22. This is what's called the law of the tassels or the law of the tzitzit. Deuteronomy 22 and verse 12. Moses told the Israelites, "Thou shalt make thee fringes upon the four quarters of your vesture wherewith thou coverest thyself." So Moses tells the Israelites that on your robes, that you should, on the four corners of your robe, that you need to put something that's called a tzitzit or a tassel. And you need to sew that, whether it's your garment, whatever it might be, but there needs to be four of these tassels or four of these tzitzits on the borders of your garment. Now that's all Moses says right there. So you're looking, scratching your head now. Why in the world would he tell them that? Why in the world would he tell them to put these tassels on their garment? Well, in order for us to find out, we have to go to the book of Numbers, because Numbers tells us why this was done. Numbers chapter 15 and verse 37. Numbers chapter 15 and verse 37. We see the reason for the tzitzit, or the tassels. "And the Lord spoke unto Moses," in verse 37, "saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make fringes, or tzitzis, or tassels, in the borders of their garments, so that throughout their generations, they may put them upon the fringe of the borders of a cord of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart or your own eyes, after which you use to play the harlot. But you remember and do all the commandments and be holy unto the Lord your God. I am the Lord God that brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God, and I am the Lord your God." So he gives them the reason why they are to put these fringes or the tassels on their garments. First of all, they're to do it so that they can look on it and be reminded. Second of all, they are to do it so that they can remember the commandments of the Lord. So they got these tassels on their garments, and by having these tassels on their garments, they can remember the law of God, and then they will do the law of God, and that these tassels on the bottom of their garments will remind them to always be holy. Brother George, if you could come and help me out. Need some help with this bad shoulder that I got. My name's not James Brown, huh? All right. Yeah. This is a prayer shawl. Actually, it's called in the Hebrew a tallit. And on this tallit, you will see these tzitzis, these four corners. Now, this is what the average Jewish person or Jewish man would wear today if they were teaching in the synagogue or when there is a holy day. Some of the men wear it when they get married. But you'll notice that it's there as a reminder. And that every time they put this on, that they are reminded by these four corners that they have the law of God and they have to do the law of God and that they are holy unto the Lord. And so they wear that and they understand that. And as you think about this, you know, that there's some powerful concepts that are going on here. And the fact is that Jesus was a rabbi. And in his day, he didn't have one like this. This is a Jewish prayer shawl. This is called a tallit. But in Jesus' day, he probably had these four tzitzis attached to his garment. And so when the lady says, if I could touch the hem of his garment, she was saying, if I could just touch one of those tzitzis. Now, what's significant about the tzitzit? Well, let's continue on. We see the first thing that's significant about the tzitzit is that the tzitzit represented the word of God. All right? It represented the word of God. This is deep. And I don't have time to explain it and break it down, but if you go online and research tzitzit, it's spelled up there for you. If you go research it, it's a powerful teaching that it would take me about an hour to explain. So, you know, you ever see when those people on TV are making a meal and they tell you, here's all the ingredients, and then they go and pull it out of the oven? Yeah. Okay, well, you know, I'm telling you the ingredients and I'm pulling it out of, this is pulling it out of the oven, right? All right? But the tzitzit represented the word of God. The four corners of the tallit, or this prayer shawl, they have holes in them right here. These holes have four strings or tzitzis that go through them. The tzitzit is an intricately wove system of knots. This is powerful. The numerical value of tzitzit in the Hebrew is 600. Now again, I know that's out there. And then when you take the number of strings and the number of knots, they're 13. Each one of these fringes represents the 613 laws that Moses gave. So whenever Jesus was walking by, that this tzitzit represented the law of God. And remember in Numbers, he said, that not only that you remember them, but you do them. So the Jewish person that wears the prayer shawl, the Jewish person in Jesus' day that wore the tzitzit, that they would know as they walked along and looked down, it would be a continual reminder that they were to remember the word of God and they were to do the word of God. So these tzitzits represent the word of God. But more powerful than that, I think, if you go to the next slide, the tzitzit represents the name of God. Again, I don't have time to get into the teaching. I mean, it's a powerful teaching. But again, if you go on and do research, if you want to research it, or if you email me, I'll send you the research on this. But in the tzitzit is woven not only the 613 commandments that Moses gave. Now, this is intentional, right? This is not like accident. This is intentional. But in the tzitzit is woven the name Yahweh, Yahweh, the name of God. So on that day, whether this lady realized it or not, this lady who had this issue of blood, whether she realized it or not, this lady who was dealing with this problem for 12 years, whether she realized it or not, she said, if I could just, watch this. She said, if I could just touch the word of God and the name of God, I'll be healed. If I could just grab a hold, now I know that Jesus is the Messiah, and I know that he's got healing. As a matter of fact, in Malachi, it said, this is deep too, that the four corners actually are called, guess what they're called? Anybody know? Wings. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the wings or the shadow of the Almighty. Malachi said that the Messiah would come and he would have healing in his wings. And so this lady realized that Jesus had healing power. But she realized more than that, and that is, if I could just touch him, that not only can I get healing, and again, there's nothing magical about these tzitzits. There's nothing, they're just ropes that are boarded together, but it's what they represented. And they represented the word of God, and they represented the name of God. And I don't know what problem you're going through today, but maybe if you get to the point where you're as desperate as this lady is, or as desperate as this lady was, that you will say to yourself, if I could just get to Jesus, if I could just get to the word, if I could just get to the name of God. Now, the word talit comes from two Hebrew words. Tal, which means tent, and leaf, which means little. And so the talit is actually a little tent. Well, what was the big tent? Oh, yeah, you got it. The tabernacle in the wilderness. And what did they do in the tabernacle in the wilderness? What did they do? God said in Exodus chapter 25, verse 3 or 8, build me a tabernacle that my people may come and what?
Worship
me. This is the place I meet with God. This is the tent. This is the little tent, the tabernacle, where I can meet with God, the talit. And you know, it says, and I researched this out, and I wouldn't say this if I didn't know this from, and you know, when I do research, I try to get more than one person listening to something. The Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses a thing is established. So I studied this out, and there was not only two or three, but there was a multitude, abundance of people saying, you know what Paul said? That he was a tent maker, and we normally ascribe that to making tents. Well, they say he wasn't talking about tents. Paul was a talit maker. He made talit.
Thank you for joining us on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were challenged. Tune in next time for the conclusion of If I Can Touch the Hem of His Garment. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of If I Can Touch the Hem of His Garment, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request If I Can Touch the Hem of His Garment, or program number 111120. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request If I Can Touch the Hem of His Garment, or program number 111120. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.